no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me for another 60 minutes of old-time radio drama. We'll hear first this week from High Adventure, an episode titled Inside Story, first aired April 9th, 1950. Then it's Big Town and The Mask of Evil, their episode from January 4th, 1949.
Cholton, makers of Old Spice aftershave lotion for that top-of-the-world feeling after every shave, brings you the top of the world in action drama for men. High Adventure!
Adventure!
High Adventure. This is the meeting place for those of you who like to give your nerves a little exercise, because we specialize in stories of hard, savage action designed to keep you right on the edge of your chair. This is High Adventure. At this meeting, Inside Story, a big city tale written and directed especially for High Adventure by Robert Monroe. It concerns three people, two of whom wanted to live and the other wouldn't die. Inside Story, as told by the man it happened to, a man called Jim Hannigan. His moment of high adventure.
The first day I joined the paper, I was called into the old man's office. All the guys out in the city room said he was tough, said he had ink in his veins instead of blood, so for me, just getting started, this was a high point. Like I said, I walked into his office, and if anything, they hadn't told me enough. He was tough, all right, and shrewd and calculating and knowing, too. But he told me some things that day that I've never forgotten. He said, "Hannigan, I don't want any milksops on my paper. I don't want any fancy Dans either." He said, "I want circulation. And you don't get circulation by writing great literature, by having a heart. Smell out the story, write it in one-syllable words, and if anybody gets hurt by it, that's their lookout, not yours." Well, I remembered that, and he was right. I covered a lot of good stories and worked my way up the hard way. There are a lot of people who didn't understand, like Laurie, but I didn't let that stop me. I was coming to the office one morning late. I'd wound up the Flynn story the day before and been out doing a little relaxing.
Good afternoon, Superman.
Very funny.
Old man wants to see you whenever you're in the mood, Hannigan.
Then tell him to... All right. Good morning, Laurie.
You trying to be funny?
What? Oh, you too, huh?
Well, after all, it is, old.
Yeah, I know. Can't a guy relax once in a while?
Oh, aspirin in your top left-hand drawer.
Oh, thanks.
Any calls?
Burgess called. Wants to meet you for lunch.
Oh, I can't go.
I made the appointment for tomorrow.
Thanks. Anything else?
Mr. Taylor has the contracts ready.
Good.
And the old man
wants...
Yeah, I know. He sounded mad.
Oh, my head.
Go on in the office. I'll bring you some water.
Yeah.
Your hemlock, Socrates.
Thanks. Well, that ought to help.
Big night, huh?
Big head.
Where'd you go?
Don't remember, after 10 or 11.
Date?
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty?
How do I know? I can't even remember.
It's nothing.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing at all.
Well, then?
But just for the record, Mr. Big, you and I had a small appointment last night.
We did?
We did? Yes, we did. And I gave up another chance to see South Pacific.
Now, don't let that worry you.
Just even say he's sorry.
I'll take you to South Pacific.
You've only been saying that for a year now.
Well, I mean it.
When?
Saturday night. Yeah, Saturday night.
I'll believe it when
okay, I... Okay, you call my ticket agent, tell him...
Oh, that's great. Now I have to get the tickets.
Well, it's just that I'm so...
Okay. Some date. Feel better?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, then you better...
Oh, no, you take it.
All right. Mr. Hannigan's office. Mrs. Carlton.
I'm not here.
Oh, Mrs. Carlton, this is Miss Jones. Can I help you? He's not in this morning. I see. Just a minute, please.
Well?
She's such a nice woman.
No.
Have a heart, Jim.
You tell her that when that no good son of hers stops getting into trouble, I'll stop printing stories about him.
It's only a page 10 item.
It's a story.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mrs. Carlton. We've already gone to press. You're welcome. You're a rat, Hannigan.
Jonesy.
Yes, a first-class heel.
Gotta be tough, Laurie. Enough heart trouble in this racket without going soft. Do you think
I've heard it before, Jim.
Well, you keep forgetting it.
No, I don't.
Oh, come on, honey. Let's kiss and make up. Huh?
Don't you dare.
J.D.
Hannigan.
No, that's better. Now, gotta go see the old
what?
Man. I said I gotta
you
go
see... beast.
Baby.
Oh, why do I let you do it?
You know me. Business first.
Yeah, I know you.
Wouldn't want me to lose my job, would you?
Oh, no. That's the last thing I'd want to happen.
See? Now, let's get down to work.
Character. Thomas forgot.
What?
There's been a Mr. Rubo waiting to see you since 9 o'clock.
Rubo?
Said he knew you in school.
Yeah.
It's not my idea of a Yale man. I can stall him if you want to see the old man first.
No, no. Better get it over with.
What?
I said bring him in.
Okay, but the old man's going to be sore. This is Mr. Rubo.
That will be all, Miss Jones.
Yes, Mr. Hannigan.
Well, what can I do for you, Rubo?
Smart boy.
I try to be.
A little bit too smart.
What's that supposed to mean?
What you did to my boy Flynn.
He was a jerk.
Maybe so.
You know he was.
He had a lot to learn, but he was a good boy.
Depends on where you're sitting.
And I can't learn nothing for 15 years. We don't like that.
Business risk.
Good boys are hard to find.
I got my own troubles.
We don't like it to happen again.
Tell your boys to be more careful.
I like you, Hannigan.
Thanks.
I don't want to see you get sick or nothing.
I see.
You start playing around with City
Look,
Hall.
Look, Rubo, this is strictly business with me. I'm not cleaning up the city or riding any white horses. You got your racket, I got mine. If it's a story, I'm going to print it. That's all.
That's why I like you.
Tell your mob to smarten up. There won't be any trouble. But when they're jerks like Flynn, I'll get them every time.
Everybody makes mistakes.
And that's when I catch them.
I don't like that.
That's too bad.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Hannigan, but there's no man outside who wants to see you right away. Says it's important.
Who is it?
Didn't give me his name.
Tell him I'll see him in a minute.
Whatever you say.
Well, anything else, Rubo?
Sure, I got plenty to say.
Well, I'm busy.
I can wait.
Look.
Go and see the old man. I wait here.
You said your piece, now beat
go
it.
Go on. I like your company, Hannigan. I wait here.
Okay. But I'm leaving that door open.
Smart boy.
Where is he, Laurie?
Out in the hall, boss.
Oh, now cut that. Why didn't you bring him in
here?
He
wanted to wait out there.
Okay, okay. Keep your eye on that character.
Of course.
You wanted to see me?
I don't know what it's all about.
Well, what do you mean?
Rubo told me...
What the... Stop him! Somebody stop him!
Are you all right, Jim?
Yeah, I'm okay.
A man?
He's dead.
What happened?
I don't know. Somebody shot him.
Who?
I didn't see him. Just shot him and ran.
Where'd you get the gun?
I picked it up, pulled the trigger. It was empty.
I'll call the police.
Something happened, Hannigan?
Well, you want to know.
Looks bad.
What do you mean?
Nobody out in the hall. We hit a couple of shots. We come out and find a dead guy.
No, you don't.
And you got the gun in
you.
Your...
don't pin this on me.
Flynn will be sorry to hear about this.
You crazy?
Not so loud, Hannigan.
Just before he got it, he said your name.
Can you prove that? See?
I don't care how it looks.
What you say, they make one mistake, that's when I get them? Every time?
Oh, you dirty...
Looks bad, Hannigan. You better clear out for a while.
Nobody's going to...
Lay low till it blows over. Go on before the cops come.
Maybe I will.
Go on, get going.
I'll see you again, Rubo. I'll see you again.
Shot down in cold blood in the offices of a busy newspaper. Hundreds of witnesses around and no way to prove your innocence. A ruthless game where the stakes are high and all the chips are blue. Don't go away, for this is the beginning of another high adventure.
They say there's a time and a place for everything. And though it may seem a little odd for me to interrupt at this grim moment in our high adventure story, this is the time and place I'm supposed to talk to you men about the value of good grooming and Old Spice aftershave lotion. But it's worth the interruption, because we all know how much good grooming really counts in business as well as social life. And we know the wonderful feeling of self-confidence that comes to a man when he's sure of his good grooming. That's why it's so important to make a habit of using Old Spice aftershave lotion every time you shave. Once you've tried Old Spice lotion, its bracing freshness will become a part of your daily life you'll never want to miss. Old Spice aftershave lotion is soothing, cooling, and healing to the skin. And it has a clean, fresh, masculine scent that men prefer. No wonder more men buy Old Spice than any other aftershave lotion at a dollar. So remember, for a wonderful sense of confidence and well-being, use Old Spice aftershave lotion every time you shave.
And now back to Inside Story, a big city tale of high adventure as told by the man who lived it, Jim Hannigan.
I'd been framed and framed good, so I got out fast. I knew it looked bad, but I had to take that chance. I got out in the street and headed for the nearest movie. I'd be safe there for a while, and I could do some uninterrupted thinking. Myself, I don't like the movies, but did you ever sit through one three times? Brother. About 9 o'clock that night, I went down to the lobby and called Laurie. I gave her the names of the three most influential people I knew in town, asked her to call them, and then meet me in the theater. Then I went back to the last row in the balcony to wait. In about a half an hour, I saw her struggling up the aisle.
I couldn't I?
Well, yes, I suppose you could.
And what do you mean by that remark?
Oh, I know you so well, Reggie. Far better than you think.
Hurry, I forgot my alpenstock.
Thanks for coming, Laurie.
How long have you been here?
Since noon.
Aren't you dizzy? I brought a couple of sandwiches.
Yeah, I meant to tell you.
You could at least say thanks.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I had a fig Newton about five. They're great for a hangover.
Eat these, you'll feel better.
Yeah.
What's the movie?
Is that important?
No, I guess not.
What about me?
Well, I've seen it before, anyway.
Hot laundry tub all day while you're off gambling on hard-earned savings at the track. Did you ever think of that?
To tell you the truth, I haven't.
She's awfully attractive.
Who?
The girl in the movie.
Oh. Yeah, of course.
Because why, Jen?
Because I'm going to have another baby.
Oh, I say, Jen, old girl.
This as close as you could come to South Pacific?
Well, I wasn't in a position to be choosy.
Well, I think at least...
Oh,
sorry.
You really can't. You'd be home helping me take care of the house and things.
Well, see here now.
Yes, you would.
That sort of thing can be carried too far, you know.
You would.
No.
You better?
Much.
Why'd you come here?
I couldn't go home. First, I was going to go to your place. Then I figured that'd be the second place they'd look.
What's it feel like to be the hottest man in New York?
It's not fun.
Of all the crazy things...
What?
Run away. Why?
I'll tell you later.
Every paper in the city has the story, pictures and everything.
Of me?
Full page. I couldn't forget you if I wanted to.
That's bad.
Why?
Cuts down my time. Few days and every jerk with a nickel for a paper will know me by heart.
Hey, you two shut up.
Stop, blow.
Sorry.
Why doesn't he go someplace else if he wants to see a movie?
Bright remark of the week.
Hey, did you call Jenkins?
Yes.
What'd he say?
Sorry, he can't help.
What is a district attorney for?
He said there was nothing he could do, and even if there were, he wouldn't do it.
Some friend.
Well, you weren't exactly kind to him during the gambling investigation.
Well, that's business.
Guess he figures so's this.
Yeah. What'd the old man say? What'd he say?
He said it'd make a better story if you got out of it yourself.
Oh, fine. Well, I'm not surprised. How about Costello?
Same thing.
What do you mean?
He said it was about time you had some heat on the back of your neck.
Oh.
Well, mad dog?
What's the mad dog business?
That's what they're calling you in the papers. Mad dog murderer is...
Laurie!
Hey, will you two shut up? Do I have to call a manager?
I'm sorry. Laurie, you don't think that I did it?
No. You're a rat, Hannigan, but not that much of a one.
Well, that's better.
What do we do now?
We've got to do it alone, that's all.
Okay, where do we start?
Well, let's see. I've got the gun, but that's no help.
No.
The old man, the only thing I remember about him was that he had a wart in his left eyebrow.
That eliminates all the right eyebrow warts.
If I wanted a hard-up old man to knock off, where would I go?
City Hall.
The Bowery, yeah, that's it. Did the cops find anything on him?
Just his name. Cyrus P. Smith.
Oh, it'd have to be Smith. It couldn't be Brinkowski or something like that.
Hey, come on, Heath. If we're going to see the picture, we better...
Stay there, buddy. We're leaving. Let's go, Laurie. I got a lot to do.
Tom. tired?
Oh, no. I've been in training.
Well, I'm sorry. It's taken so long.
That's all right. Nothing like walking the Bowery to keep a girl in shape.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You can't tell the cops from the hoods down here.
It's all right.
Well, you know, you're quite a girl, Jonesy.
Just about run out of joints, haven't we?
I mean it.
I think we've talked to every bum on the street.
I know you don't want to, but I'm going to talk about it.
It's hardly the setting.
I don't know. I kind of like it.
Character.
What do you want, Laurie? Did you ever think about it?
Oh, never. I just go home, climb into bed, and fall right off to sleep.
Oh, now, be serious.
Why?
Because I am.
All right. I know what I don't want.
What?
I want to be able to sleep at night. I don't want to have to worry about my guy, where he is, what he's doing, what mobster he's playing hide-and-seek with tonight.
I see.
I want to go to bed and have him next to me and know he's going to be there every night for the rest of my life. If he isn't a big shot, well, what's the difference? As long as he likes my coffee.
Guy's got to do what he likes.
Some guys.
This guy.
So why did we start talking?
Oh, I don't know, Laurie.
Jim.
What?
Don't look now, but that crumb behind us has been following us for 2 blocks.
Where?
Don't look.
All right, just keep walking.
Uh-huh.
Act like nothing's happened. If we can make it to that alley. He's still there?
Yes, he's gaining on us.
I might walk a little bit faster, but not obvious. All right. Come on, up this alley and run. Quick, hide in this doorway.
This is what I mean.
Shh. Run. It might be a cop.
Oh.
What do you want?
Run up a blind alley, didn't you?
What do you want?
Thought you could run away from me, didn't you? I know every hole in this street. Every one of them.
All right, you're a smart guy. Now, what do you want?
Don't make me mad. Could want most anything.
Jim.
Get away from her.
Hey, there goes my match.
Don't light another.
Better in the dark, huh?
Yeah.
Ain't you the fellow that was asking about Cy Smith?
What's it to you?
Okay, if you feel that way.
No, wait. What do you know about him?
Something.
I don't remember talking to you.
You didn't. I heard you asking them.
Well, when'd you come up?
Figured we could talk better business alone.
How much?
How much is it worth to you?
$10.
What'd you say, Hannigan?
25. 50. No more.
Fair enough.
All right, what do you know?
Money first.
How do I know you got what I want?
Okay, if you feel...
All right. Money first. Here you... Oh, I haven't got my wallet. Laurie, have you got any
money? Of course.
30, 40, 50. Now, what do you know?
2 days ago, Cy came down to the street. Had $100 with him.
Where'd he get it?
Pay.
From who? Rubo?
No.
No, I knew he was smarter than that. Who?
Vince Nieta.
That's worth $50. Come on, Laurie.
See you around, Hannigan.
Yeah, sure. We'll split a can of Sterno someday. Come on, Laurie. Vince Anyetta. That name rang a bell. One of Rubo's gunmen who'd been mixed up in a smuggling racket 10 years ago and had been sent up for 15 years. Probably out on good behavior. Maybe even made a break. I didn't know. First thing in the morning, I went over to the pool room where Anyetta used to hang out, but he hadn't been there for days. I was lucky and bought his address from a rack boy for $10. I beat it over to a tenement on the Lower East Side, but the landlady told me that he hadn't been there since yesterday. Then I remembered the shack on the west shore of Staten Island that had been used as a drop back in the smuggling days. I called Laurie, and she picked me up in her car at Times Square. She wanted to come along, but the pace was getting too hot. So I put her in a cab, took her car, and headed for Staten Island. There was a cop at the ferry entrance, so I went back to the Brooklyn Bridge and took the 69th Street ferry for the island. Things were going too smooth. I drove out along the west shore till there was nothing but me and the dunes. Through Green Ridge, then about 5 miles beyond New Springville, I saw it. One of those old weather-beaten houses with a lot of gingerbread. All the shutters were drawn, not a sign of life anywhere. I pulled into the yard.
Somebody's home. Now cut it out. I want to talk to you, Nieta.
Beat it, copper.
I'm not a cop.
Beat it.
I'm Jim Hannigan from the Herald.
Who?
Hannigan from the Herald.
Stand up. Okay, go to the front door. It's open.
Where are you?
In here. What do you want?
What happened to you?
Rubo tried to knock me over last night.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
How'd you get out here?
I got ways.
You hurt bad?
Six slugs in me.
Better get you to a doctor.
Hey, get back.
Okay.
What do you want?
What do you know about Cyrus B. Smith?
Plenty.
What?
I ain't talking.
I know you set him up for the job.
So?
Who killed him? Come on, Anyetta. Who are you shielding?
Get back.
Why did Rubo have your gun?
Afraid I talk.
Oh, that doesn't make sense.
What?
He's afraid you'll talk, so he has you shot down. Now you won't talk?
So?
So what are you shielding him for?
Why should I help you?
Look, and yet, unless I get you to a doctor, you'll probably die. Then I'll never be able to get Rubo.
Suppose I don't croak.
You're dying on your feet right now.
Shut up.
There, you see?
Get back. Okay. Okay, what do you want?
Who killed the old man?
I did.
You?
Yeah. Rubo said it was a soft touch, just routine. Then when I found out there was a big fish like you on the line, I went to Mondo. Always that way. I go with some little guy nobody cares about, gets hushed up in a hurry, that's easy. Get a big shot mixed up in it, everything goes haywire. Takes dough. I've been in it before, I know.
Rubo wouldn't pay you and tried to kill you so you wouldn't talk.
Yeah. You're not taking me in.
I don't want you, Anyetta. I want the big guy. If you sign a statement, I'll see it goes easy on you. Anyetta. Anyetta. Oh, he's dead. Now what? Phone. I gotta get to a phone.
Time is running out for Jim Hannigan. Every avenue is blocked, and the only man who could have helped him lies dead at his feet. We'll be in for the exciting climax. And by this time, I think we'll agree it's the kind of story that can only be called high adventure.
I don't know why they do this to me, but every time some poor soul has shaved his last shave in this high adventure story, I have to cut in about Old Spice aftershave lotion, and I accept the challenge. For every man alive wants to start off each day with that top-of-the-world feeling. And here's one simple way to help do it. Use Old Spice aftershave lotion. You'll find Old Spice lotion has a skin-tingling freshness that makes you feel wide awake and ready for the day. Old Spice aftershave lotion gives you wonderful value for your money. There are two generous sizes of this quality lotion, a dollar and $1.75. Look for the handsome red Old Spice cartons at drug and department stores everywhere. And for that top-of-the-world feeling, use Old Spice lotion after every shave. And now back for the climax of Inside Story. A high adventure story is told by the man who lived it, Jim Hannigan.
I called Laurie and told her what to do, then I beat it back into town. The guy at the ferry wanted to know how my windshield got busted. I told him somebody took a shot at me. He said I was lucky I didn't get hit. Well, I was back in town by 4:00 and went right over to Rubo's apartment. The doorman said he wasn't in, so I went up and waited. It's amazing how many doors a $10 bill will open. It was one of those real lush joints, all glass and chromium with a potted palm every 5 feet. I'd been there about a half an hour when I heard his key in the lock.
Well, hello, smart boy.
You're not surprised.
Nah.
I said I'd see you again.
I've been expecting you.
Oh?
I thought you'd be here sooner.
I was tied up.
What do you want?
Plenty.
Drink?
Nope.
I always...
We won't have time.
Ah, we...
Going someplace?
Right down to the paper. I want to get the story before the cops do.
You're acting pretty sure of yourself.
Well, I know some things you don't.
Like what?
I found Vince and Yetta. Alive.
I was worried about Vince.
And he talked. Plenty.
I like to see Agneta.
Don't worry, he's where you'll never find him.
How do I know you're not bluffing?
Agneta hired Cy Smith for $100. Smith came to my office and got me out in the hall. Agneta shot him, but he thought it was a pushover. When he found out it was bigger than that, he came to you for more money. When you wouldn't give it to him, he threatened to talk. So your boys took him out for a little air, but it didn't work.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah, that's right. Want any more?
You make mistakes, too.
Oh, put the gun away. I thought of that, too.
What stops me if I shoot you now?
My office knows where I am. If I'm not back at the paper by 5 o'clock, they'll have you picked up for my murder. Now, we got 10 minutes. What are you going to do, Rubo?
What can I do? You think of everything.
I thought you'd be smart. You've already got 2 murders against you.
2? Smith and who? Agneta, maybe? I knew you was bluffing, smart boy.
Right, give me that.
That teach you, punk.
Get you.
Let go.
You scum.
Drop it.
Drop it. Now, just you and me.
All right.
Like this better.
Smart boy.
No guns. No nothing. Just you and me.
Right, get up. Get up, punk. You got more coming.
I'll kill you.
Oh, stop it.
I'll kill you.
I'm a tyrant.
Kill you.
Stop it. Stop it. Do anything you say. Anything, Hanukkah.
I've gone through a lot to get this story. Come on, smart boy.
Is your shoulder all right?
Yeah, it's okay.
Hey, let me help you out.
Yeah, stop fussing.
Mean old man.
Oh.
There, see?
All right, all right.
Love the excitement just before the curtain goes up.
Yeah.
I can hardly wait to hear some enchanted... You're not even listening, Jim.
There's Big Boss Scully.
Where?
Over there. With all the wheels from Universal Steel.
Hannigan.
Huh?
You promised.
But there might be
no
a big...
No more stories, remember?
Jonesy,
no more playing with dynamite. I want people to like you.
Okay.
And no more underworld connections.
I said okay.
That's better. There go the house lights. I'd still like to know where you got the ticket.
Shh.
I would.
You're bothering people.
Well, I would.
Okay, okay. Rubo.
Inside Story, as lived by Jim Hannigan. That one thrilling moment in the life of a man that has but one meaning, high adventure. And here's the fine folk who gave you those fine high adventure performances. Heard as Jim Hannigan with John Larkin, with Gene Tatum, Maurice Toplin, Phil Sterling, and Jack Arson. The High Adventure Orchestra was conducted by Mr. Lou Davies. And in next week's meeting, friends and members, we're proud to present a high adventure story of a man... who returned from the war and fought his greatest battle at home. It's called The Circle Road. And in the leading role will be that famous personality of stage and screen, Mr. Burgess Meredith. So until next week on The Circle Road, starring Burgess Meredith, remember that wherever you live, whatever you do, it's there to see and find. And we like to call it high adventure. Listen now to special news. Introducing new Schulten shampoo in a plastic bottle that absolutely cannot break. Knock it off the basin, drop it on the floor. You'll never need to worry again about dangerous splintered glass. New Schulten shampoo leaves hair wonderfully clean, dandruff-free, easy to manage. And ladies, new Schulten shampoo has a brand new formula that actually gives your hair more glory lights.
Try new Schulten shampoo in the unbreakable plastic bottle today. Only 85 cents at drug and department stores.
Enjoy Eddie Cantor and Bob Crosby tonight on NBC.
Lever Brothers Company, makers of Lifebuoy Health Soap, presents Big Town.
Extra, extra, hero about the mask of evil. Tonight's Big Town story brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, used in the homes of 40 million Americans. Extra, extra.
Lifebuoy Health Soap presents Big Town, the headline stories of a great city dramatically reported by Steve Wilson, fighting managing editor whose creed, as with all great newsmen, is emblazoned on the masthead of the Illustrated Press.
The power and the freedom of the press is a flaming sword. That it may be a faithful servant of all the people, use it justly, hold it high, guard it well.
Now, Big Town and Steve Wilson's strange and exciting story captioned The Mask of Evil. Evil has many shapes and many forms, and if you seek it, you may find it to your sorrow. And such is the case in tonight's story, which had its beginning and strange and terrifying ending in a supposedly haunted lighthouse, rented for atmosphere by a mystery writer and old friend of Steve Wilson by the name of Hannah Harper.
Miss Hannah, close the door quick. Oh,
for heaven's sake, no. What's the matter, Aggie?
It's that terrible caretaker, Mr. Red Heron, and his son, Elmer. That's what's the matter, Miss Hannah. Please close the door and lock it.
Oh, stuff and fiddlesticks, Addie. They're just a couple of harmless local characters, and we're lucky to have them here to keep this musty old lighthouse warm while I finish my latest chiller-diller.
We'll never live till you finish it, Miss Hannah.
Why not?
Why not?
Yes, and quit echoing me like a cracked phonograph record. Why not?
Because.
Because why? Oh, for heaven's sake, you got me doing it again. Why?
Because of things.
What kind of things?
Doings.
What kind of doings?
What kind of doings?
Now, don't start that again, Aggie. What's frightening you?
That Mr. Red Heron.
What's he done?
He's been giving me the fishy eyes.
Oh, stuff. He has only one eye, and he's probably giving you his version of a widower's wink. What else?
What else? The noises.
What kind of noises?
What kind of noises?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, yes.
Strange noises. Under the house, rumbles, explosions, like thunder.
Oh, stuff. Herring explained all that. It's the rumble of the waves pounding into the sea caves under this old lighthouse.
No, it isn't, Miss Hannah.
Yes, it is, and I wish it wasn't. This is the most disappointing haunted house I've ever rented to get an atmosphere for my horror stories.
You'll get more than atmosphere if we don't get out of here tonight.
Oh, stuff and nonsense. There isn't a spook in the place. Even poor old Captain Diamond rests quietly in his grave. Not a clank or a groan out of him. Hasn't creaked a stair since we moved in, or even slammed a door.
Oh, my stars. Oh, there.
Stuff. It's the wind banging a shutter.
No, it isn't. It's somebody trying to scare us away.
Well, why should anyone want to scare us away?
I don't know, Miss Hannah. But I wish your friend Mr. Steve Wilson was here to tell us to get out.
Yes, I wish Steve was here. Something always happens when Steve Wilson is around.
Please don't wish things like that, Miss Hannah. If we don't get out of this old lighthouse, we're all going to be murdered in our beds.
No such thing. If I'm going to be murdered, I insist on a much more unusual setting. Murdered in bed. What would my mystery fans and my publisher think?
I don't care what they think. And if you won't leave this awful place, I'm going to the village and telephone Mr. Wilson.
Why?
Why? To get us out of here. Oh, my stars. Oh, there. There. Listen. That's why we've got to get out of this place.
Oh, good heavens. I'll bicycle to the village and phone Steve Wilson myself. And if he'll come out, maybe something will really happen in this forsaken place.
Hi, Steve. Anything special on the hook for your wondrous girl reporter?
Not a thing, Lorelei, but close the door on those teletypes and come perch on the corner of my desk.
Thanks. Well, what goes with you? Have you been giving your ulcers a vacation whilst I've been in Washington?
Yes. Part of my New Year's resolution to take things easier. and last longer.
The year is exactly 4 days old. You want to bet you don't stay out of high gear a week?
Not a nickel, as long as I'm running a newspaper.
And the paper runs us. What a life. Anything new on that Southside sewer scandal?
Not yet, Lorelei. The grand jury is too full of post-Christmas spirit to indict, but they'll get around to it.
Uh-oh, your private wire to your so-called underworld listening post.
Yes, the holiday truce is over. Hello, Steve Wilson, Illustrated Press.
Steve, quit billing yourself like a vaudeville act on television.
Hannah!
So help you!
This I gotta hear.
Well, hard-hearted Hannah Hopper, the horrific harpy of horrible happenings. How are you?
Terrible, thank you.
What's wrong?
I've rented another haunted house for atmosphere, but practically nothing happened.
Well, what is it this time, Hannah? A murder man's? Deserted railroad station or Bluebeard's castle?
An abandoned lighthouse near Corpse Cove.
Corpse Cove? Wouldn't you know it, Steve? Hiya, Hannah. Happy New Year.
Oh, hello, Lorelei. Same to you. Are you sitting on Wolf Wilson's knee this year?
No, on the corner of his desk. I'm not playing Charlie McCarthy to his Bergen act until next year.
Good. Get Steve off his managerial post and bring him out here on the double.
Are you in trouble again, Hannah?
Trouble? My publisher are having cat fits and kitten britches.
Why?
I have a deadline on a bedtime story called The Seven Corpses, and I haven't found the first one.
Hannah, I refuse to be a stand-in for one of your bodies.
Oh, please, Steve. Aggie, my housekeeper, is hiding under beds and threatening to leave if you don't come and rescue us from a fate worse than death.
Well, what's going on, Hannah?
Oh, blessed if I know, Steve. It's just noises and explosions down under the lighthouse.
Explosions?
Yes, I've told Aggie it's waves in a sea cave, but I'm beginning not to believe it.
Are you two alone in that lighthouse?
Might as well be. I rented the light from a bank that handles the estate of a character called Captain Diamond.
Captain Diamond?
Yes, who retired here until they buried him under a huge slab of concrete right outside the front door.
Well, anyone else there besides the captain's ghost?
Yes, a local gnome called Red Herring.
Red Herring? No.
Yes, so help me. And his son Elmer, who is a cross between Paul Bunyan and his ox. And he claims he has a 7-foot rabbit that pulls a pony cart.
Now, wait a minute, Hannah. Harvey was only a 6-foot rabbit.
Well, Elmer never heard of Harvey.
Well, have you seen this 7-foot apparition?
No, and I don't want to, for heaven's sake, drive out, Steve. Bring the Lorelei and Harry the Hack and his trusty monkey wrench.
Are you serious, Hannah?
I'm never serious, but I'm worried, Steve, and a little bit scared, so please come out here.
Okay, Hannah. How do we get to the lighthouse?
Drive to Corpse Cove.
Corpse Cove?
Yes. Turn right and follow the cliff road, but warn Harry the Hack to be careful.
Oh, why be careful, Hannah?
Because part of the road has fallen into the sea.
Thus, Steve Wilson and Lorelei have been drawn into a strange situation, and for the exciting developments, we'll return to Big Town in a moment. You know, I always thought the great thing about Life Boy was this. It made me feel wonderfully clean. Extra clean. But I never knew how right I was till the doctors actually proved it. Yes, it's true. After comparing the effects of daily baths with different soaps, these doctors made this amazing statement. Actually, you're cleaner. Safer from B.O. when you bathe daily with Lifebuoy than when you bathe with any other leading soap. Here's the reason. Lifebuoy does more than just remove the grime and perspiration you can see. Lifebuoy is more effective than any other leading soap against the invisible dirt that can form a foothold for B.O. Lifebuoy gets you even cleaner than the eye can see. After 820 scientific tests, these doctors say that Lifebuoy's purifying ingredient makes the difference. And this same purifying ingredient actually makes Lifebuoy milder, safe even for a baby's tender skin. So enjoy a refreshing Lifebuoy bath every day. You'll like Lifebuoy's creamy, rich lather, its wonderful mildness. Get Lifebuoy right away. Now back to Big Town and to Steve Wilson and Lorelei, as they drive to an abandoned lighthouse to help a lady novelist who gets into jams by renting haunted houses for atmosphere.
Say, boss, Miss Kilpine, speaking of atmosphere...
Speak of it, Harry.
If you will observe out at the left window of the hack, you will see very little else besides atmosphere, except in seawater about 100 feet straight down.
Yes, Harry. So watch for any more spots where the road has fallen into the sea.
I'm watching. That last one came on me kind of sudden.
Yes, so does death. To take it easier, we won't live to get Hannah Harper and Aggie out of this jam.
What kind of jam they got themselves into this time, boss?
We're not sure. Neither is Hannah. Oh, there's the lighthouse, Harry. Stop here.
Yipes and how the road ends. That's all there is. There ain't no more. Should I cut my lights?
Well, no, wait, Harry. There's something coming out of the ground over there.
Holy moly. It walks like a man, but it looks like a bear.
Oh, that must be Elmer, the caretaker's son.
Ooh, quote and misquote. Who takes care of the caretaker's son while the caretaker's son is taking care of us?
Wait a minute. He's coming over to the car. I'll get out and talk to him.
You want to borrow my knock-a-knock-a boy?
Hold it, Harry. Good evening.
What do you want, mister?
Does Miss Hannah Harper live here?
She did.
Where is she?
I don't know.
Are you Elmer Herring?
Yeah, I'm Elmer Herring. Who are you?
We're friends of Miss Harper and Miss Aggie.
Then get them out of here.
Why?
Because I don't like them women.
Why not?
Because they don't believe I got a rabbit 7 feet tall.
Oh? Have you?
Yeah.
That's fine. Now, if you don't mind, I'll go into the lighthouse.
Wait a minute, mister.
Let go of my throat. Elmer,
what?
Keep out of this, Harry.
Yeah, I'll throw you both in the ocean and your automobile, and I can do it, too.
I'm sure you could, Elmer, but then we wouldn't be able to take Miss Hannah away from here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, you couldn't.
So, how about letting go of my throat, and I'll go into the lighthouse and talk her into leaving.
Okay, but you get them out of here.
Elmer! Get back in the cellar. Get.
Okay, Pa. Okay, but don't you let him laugh about my 7-foot rabbit.
I won't, and get him to work. All right, mister. I heard you. Get them women and get.
Why?
It ain't safe for him to be here at the lighthouse alone.
Why not?
You ask too many questions, mister. Get them women and get.
That will be up to Miss Harper.
Get them and get.
Well, you seem to have another visitor. This is your busy night.
I said get them and get.
You're in a rut, Mr. Herring.
Get them and get.
Good evening, Mr. Herring.
Yeah. Evening, Doc.
I came as quickly as possible. Who are your visitors?
Strangers. Come to get the writing woman and the other female what talks like a parrot.
Very good. From that which I hear, your friends will be happier elsewhere, sir.
That remains to be seen, and I didn't catch the name.
Dr. Fu, doctor of dentistry, sir. And you?
I'm Steve Wilson of the Big Town Illustrated Press.
Oh, a newspaper man.
Yes, but we're here as friends of Miss Harper.
Good. Very good. And a good friend is he who gives wise counsel. In this case, to the past.
Now, thanks for the suggestion, Dr. Fu. And what is your reason for coming here as quickly as possible?
A professional visit, sir. I have come to pull teeth.
Well, not Mr. Herring's. He doesn't sound as if he had any teeth.
You're darn right. Had him knocked out in a fight in Singapore 20 years ago.
Quite so. And I am preparing a set of false teeth for Mr. Herring.
When do I get him, Doc?
Oh, very soon. But now, where is your son, Elmer? That the molar must be causing him great pain.
He's in the cellar.
Oh, so that's what made Elmer feel so mean. A toothache.
Yes, but the matter will soon be remedied.
Who's going to hold Elmer while you pull a molar, Dr. Fu?
No one, Mr. Wilson, for I shall put him to sleep. And now, if you will excuse me, gentlemen.
All right, mister. Go get them women and get them out of here.
Steve, what's going on here? First a dim-witted giant with a toothache and a 7-foot rabbit, and then a monosyllabic rustic, and finally an oriental doctor of dentistry. I don't get it. It can't happen here.
Well, it is happening, Lorelei. And if it's one of Hannah's publicity stunts to publicize her next mystery novel, I'm going to dunk her in the ocean. Now, wait a minute, Harry.
Jack Wash.
Come on, Lorelei.
I'm right with you, Steve. Lead the way. Oh,
Steve. Steve Wilson. Oh, thank heavens you got here.
Yes, I think so, Hannah.
Well... For heaven's sakes, come on in, but don't wipe your feet on this concrete slab. Hello, Lorelei.
Hello, Hannah. Why not?
Oh, poor old Captain Diamond is buried under this slab. It wouldn't be respectful to wipe your feet on his grave. So come on in. I have a welcome mat inside.
Well, it'll be the first welcome we've had.
What do you mean, Steve?
Now, all right, Hannah. Where did you hire these freak characters to put on that vaudeville act?
Act? What act are you talking about?
Elmer, Red Herring, Foo.
Who's Foo?
An oriental dentist here to pull Elmer's teeth.
And our leg, if you ask me.
Steve, Laurel, I swear I haven't arranged anything.
What? Miss Hannah! Oh, Mr. Wilson, Miss Kilburn.
What is it, Aggie?
Get us out of this awful place before we're all murdered in our beds. Oh, my goodness. Midnight. And I'm still telling you we'll all be murdered in our beds, we will.
Stuff and fiddle, faddlesticks, Aggie. Now that Steve is here, nothing will happen.
Well, I thought you wanted me here at the lighthouse, so something would happen, Hannah.
I've changed my mind.
What do you suppose they're doing down in the cellar besides pulling Elmer's teeth, Steve?
Well, I don't think Dr. Fu came here to pull Elmer's teeth, all right?
For heaven's sakes, what else, Steve?
I don't know, Hannah, but you've convinced me this isn't a publicity stunt on your part, and they're all anxious to get you and Aggie out of here.
Listen, I wonder why.
That's what I mean to find out.
Hostie.
I want all of you to go to bed and turn out the lights.
We'll be murdered in our bed.
Stuff, Aggie. They'll have to find you under the bed to murder you.
What are you going
to
do, Steve?
Wait a while and then scout the basement to see what's causing those muffled explosions.
There, Miss Hannah. I told you it wasn't waves in the caves making that awful noise.
I just said that to keep you from having the screaming memes, Aggie.
I got him anyway.
Well, why did you send Harry away with a hack, Steve?
The phone Fletch on City Desk to check our morgue files on this fabulous Captain Diamond buried under Hannah's doorway.
Why check on Captain Diamond, Steve?
I think Dr. Fu is here because of Captain Diamond, Hannah.
What makes you think so, Steve?
You say you found papers indicating Diamond made a fortune trading in the Orient before he retired?
Yes, but the bank I rented the place from said he'd lost all his money.
I wonder. That old picture of him over the fireplace doesn't look like a man who would part with money once he got his hands on it.
Well, suppose he had money when he died. Where does Fu fit?
Oh, I think by his accent, Dr. Fu, if he is a dentist, practiced in the Straits, Laura, like Singapore, Calcutta, or even the east coast of Africa. May have worked on Captain Diamond, learned his secret.
How'd you arrive at that long arm of deduction, Steve?
Well, look at the mouth of that old sea dog up there in the picture. A full set of false teeth, if I ever saw one.
Heavens, Steve, you're right. Maybe Dr. Fu heard of Captain Diamond's death.
Yes, through Red Herring, who sailed with the captain as a mate.
And they're looking for the captain's money.
Oh, a buried treasure. That's what they're after. And they'll murder us all in our beds to get it.
Oh, go to bed, Aggie. Get under the bed. You'll be safe.
Wait a minute. Listen, that's Dr. Fu's car.
He's driving away. I guess they've quit the treasure hunt for tonight.
Good. Where do Herring and his son live, Hannah?
Downstairs, under the old light.
Uh-oh, not so good. Is there any way to get down there from here?
No, only through a passageway under the light. This keeper's house was built later.
And I'll have to get in that way.
Steve, you're not going down there right away. Elmer likes to choke people. He might think you're trying to steal his 7-foot rabbit.
No. I'm going to wait a while. Give Elmer and his father time to settle down and sleep.
You hope?
Don't worry. Now, you girls get to bed and turn out your lights.
And sleep, I suppose.
At least, keep quiet.
Yeah. All right. Come along, Aggie. Get your nightie.
Nightie? That I'll not, Miss Kilburn. The least I can do is be decent if I'm going to be murdered in me sleep.
Doggone Steve Wilson.
Lorelei.
Scare a gal green?
Why didn't you stay up in the house?
Oh, no. If there's something to this treasure idea, there's a story in it. And I'm a reporter, and whether you go, ergo, I go.
All right. But keep quiet and keep back.
Are you going in the cellar now?
No. Dr. Fu left his car down the road and walked back. He's in there.
In there? Doing what?
Well, they've been digging and loading something on a cart, Laura.
The one Elmer's 7-foot rabbit pulled?
Well, at this stage of the game, I'll even buy that.
Steve, what was that?
I think those modern Pandoras are opening a box, commonly called a coffin.
Grave robbers.
Those muffled explosions must have been blasts to open a hole from this cellar to Captain Diamond's burial vault.
Steve, if the money's in the coffin, they'll get it and get away before we can notify the police.
Give me my share, consign, you fool. Give me my share. Give me it. Let me get it.
Wait, Lorelei. They're quarreling over the loot. Maybe we won't need the police.
Give me my share, you wretch. Will you give me my share?
But certainly, my friend, you and your son shall have your share now.
Steve, did you see what I saw run past it?
Yes, but that will keep, Lorelei. Be careful, be quiet. We're dealing with a killer.
It's quite so.
Dr. Fu.
Yes, miss. And this gun and flashlight give me considerable advantage over your male companion. So please to advise him to do nothing foolishly heroic on your behalf.
Consider yourself advised, Steve. He means business.
Yes, Dr. Fu. If you handle dentist tools as well as that gun in your hand, you must be quite a craftsman.
I am most proficient, Mr. Wilson. Please to walk with the young lady into the late Captain Diamond's grave vault, and I will show you examples of both types of my handiwork.
Thus, Steve and Lorelei are caught in a really deadly situation. In a moment, we'll come to the exciting climax of tonight's story, brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap. Friends, if you say this is startling, well, I say it's startling, too. The doctors have proved it. Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Yes, after comparing the effects of daily baths with different soaps, these doctors made this amazing statement. Actually, you're cleaner, safer from B.O. when you bathe daily with Lifebuoy than when you bathe with any other leading soap. It's Lifebuoy's purifying ingredient that makes the difference. Remember, this purifying ingredient actually makes Lifebuoy milder, safe even for a baby's tender skin. So ask for Lifebuoy and enjoy that Lifebuoy bath every day. Now back to Big Town and to the abandoned lighthouse. The weird situation in which Steve Wilson faces a murderous Oriental dentist. In tonight's story of The Mask of Evil.
Please, to begin work, Mr. Wilson.
Hadn't you better wait for our driver, Harry the Hack, to return before you force me to seal ourselves up in Captain Diamond's grave vault?
No, Mr. Wilson. You are a hack driver. I will dispose of with this gun when he returns and deliver his hack and his body over the cliff into the sea.
Oh, I knew it, Miss Hannah. I told you we'd be murdered if we stayed in this haunted old lighthouse.
Quiet, Aggie. You were wrong about being murdered in bed. Maybe you'll be wrong about being murdered at all.
We hope.
Well, you should have stayed in bed, Hannah, Aggie.
The ladies will please to be quiet while Mr. Wilson begins with his special cement I have prepared.
What is so special about this cement, Dr. Poole?
To ordinary cement, I have added a special fast hardening ingredient used in the dental profession, which in a few minutes will make the opening you are about to close like solid rock.
I see. So you won't have to wait so long to be sure the passageway is sealed up so tight we can't dig our way out with this trowel.
Quite. So please to start before mortar begins to harden.
Very well. You better back up or you'll be sealed in with us.
I shall make certain that does not happen, Mr. Wilson. Seal up the space between us quickly.
All right. Incidentally, what were you after in the coffin of the late Captain Diamond?
Diamond. Mm-hmm. Yes, a fortune in diamonds.
Where were they hidden?
In the good captain's false teeth, Mr. Wilson.
In his false teeth? Very ingenious, Dr. Fu. Your idea or the captain's?
The captain's.
He had me seal them in a set of molars in Zanzibar many years ago.
And you had to wait until he died to get them back?
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
And murder Mr. Herring and his son?
Yes, Mr. Wilson. Now please to continue and finish before cement hardens, or I shall be compelled to shoot.
Well, then you'd have to finish sealing up this hole yourself.
It would be no task. So continue quickly, please.
Steve, if you do seal up that hole, we're finished. No one will ever find us in this vault.
Take it easy, Lorelei, my lovely. Cement is tricky stuff. It can be used for all sorts of things.
Oh, Miss Hannah, what an awful, awful way to die. Buried before you're dead, with bodies laying on a road.
Hush, Shaggy, you're getting morbid. Steve, you've simply got to think us out of here.
I'm going to try. Get back, Hannah.
My gun grows impatient, Mr. Wilson. Please to finish the job of sealing the opening.
All right, Dr. Fu. Here's a nice big trowel full of your fast-hardening cement for your face. All right.
Come in here through the cavity.
Oh, wonderful, Steve. Hold him. I'll get the gun.
Abigail, I've got him.
My face. This cement is hardening. I will smother to death.
No, Dr. Fuchs, stop struggling. Stop talking and breathe through your mouth.
Steve, the cement is hardening on his face.
Yes. And it'll make a perfect mask of evil for the rogues gallery at police headquarters.
Hey, boss, Miss Gilbine, boss.
Oh, in here, Harry.
Holy mackerel, what's going on in here?
We just missed being buried alive because of a mouthful of diamonds, Harry.
Harry. Did you see an animal outside hitched to a cart with a coffin in it?
Yipes! Was that what almost run me off the cliff as I was driving back in here?
Yes, Harry. Elmer's 7-foot rabbit, alias a long-eared mule. What happened to it?
Run off the cliff and fell in the ocean.
Oh, Steve. With the captain's body and his false teeth full of a fortune in diamonds.
Yes, it looks like the captain and his fortune in namesakes have gone back to the sea.
Oh, Steve, I knew something would happen as soon as you showed up. Now I have enough material for my horror book.
No, you haven't, Hannah. Your publisher wouldn't swallow this story.
Why not?
Because in these queer days and times, fiction can't be as strange as fact.
And so ended, with the arrest, conviction, and execution of the deadly Dr. Fu, for the murder of Elmer and his father, another exciting adventure of Steve Wilson and Lorelei of the Big Town Illustrated Press. Now, before telling you of next week's Big Town story, friends, have you tried Lifebuoy Health Soap in the big new bath size? Bath size Lifebuoy is generous, luxurious. Gives you mountains of mild, refreshing lather, oceans of bath time enjoyment. Remember, Lifebuoy in your daily bath gets skin cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Get new bath-sized Lifebuoy. Next week, the makers of Lifebuoy bring you a hard-hitting story of the building racket entitled Nightmare House. Another exciting assignment in the newspaper career of fighting Steve Wilson of Big Town. Don't miss it. In tonight's dramatization, all names, times, and places are fictional, and any similarity to other names and places is purely coincidental. Big Town features Edward Pauley as Steve Wilson, Fran Carlin as Lorelei Kilbourne, and was written and produced by Jerry McGill. Next Tuesday night, same time, same station, you'll hear the newsboy calling.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. The story of Steve Wilson and Nightmare House. Brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, and another fine Lever product, Extra, Extra.
New Rinso with Solium puts sunshine on your wash. Yes, rain or shine, New Rinso gives your wash an amazing new brilliance. You can dry your wash anywhere, and white clothes will turn out not just whiter, but whiter than new. And washable colors even brighter than brand new. It's because New Rinso contains the scientific sunlight ingredient, Solium. New Rinso is so safe for clothes, so kind to hands. Today, more women use Rinso than any other wash day soap in the world. Only New Rinso contains Solium.
Be sure to be with us next Tuesday at the same time when Lever Brothers Company will again present Big Town. This is your narrator, Hugh James, bidding you good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. If you want to find more from this show, more from High Adventure, Big Town, and all types of other old-time radio shows, just visit relicradio.com. You'll also find links there to our forum, Shoutcast Stream, everything Relic Radio, and the donate button that helps make it all possible. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, click on that. Thanks to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.